You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, hello, welcome. Welcome to another episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, where we're delving into all the things that help you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Now, this is going to be a two-parter. We're going to cover some of this in this episode, and we're going to return to it to finish it off in a couple of episodes' time. But let me just ask you something. Let me just pose you a question. Have you ever had the experience that you seem to be speaking a different language with someone? Yeah, I don't mean physically a different language. You're speaking French, they're speaking English. You're both speaking English, and yet the communication's just not working. You seem to be almost speaking different languages. You ever had that? Or you've almost certainly had this. You've been speaking with a close friend or a partner, and you're kind of wondering what the heck you're each on about because it's just not making sense, yeah? That's what we're taking a look at here. We're taking a look at a thing which is behind language and which shapes our experience of the world, the way we experience the world, the way we communicate, the way we think, the way we filter everything. We've spoken about filters before. Remember we spoke about how our unconscious mind, bombarded by 2 million bits of information every second. Now, conscious mind can only process a small part of that. So we have these things called filters. Excuse me. Filters, which are beliefs, attitudes, values, decisions we've made, all of these sorts of things, filter what's coming in, shape how we experience the world, shape how we express ourselves, and metaprograms, which we're looking at in this episode, and again in a couple of episodes' time. Metaprograms are a very, very core part of that. Now, we're going to take a look at these. There are 18 or 19 metaprograms. We're going to look at half of them today and another half in another episode. Usually when coaches or whatever are using metaprograms, it's to figure out how a person thinks, what makes them work and so on, enables them to better understand how the person thinks so that we can then communicate more readily in a way which works best for that person. But when we're looking at metaprograms today, what I'd like you to kind of explore is not only how you can get a better understanding of yourself and how you motivate yourself, how you see life, but you'll also start to see how these can also tap in with the way in which we experience fear, the way in which we deal with fear, the way in which we might even attract fear into our lives. So it's very, very We could spend a lot of programs just talking about metaprograms. We're only going to spend a couple of episodes on it. We may revisit it again at some point in the future if you want more information. But for now, let's just take a look at what the metaprograms are. Now, you've probably experienced, or you're probably familiar with at least part of or a similar thing to metaprograms. It's a thing, the thing that's loved by so many recruiters and all sorts of people out there. You've probably come across them, Myers-Briggs personality profiles, yeah? You know, the one that kind of splits us into 16 different personality types. We can split all 7 or 8 billion people on the planet. We can fit neatly into 16 personality types of about 500 million people each. Obviously, that's not going to describe people too well. You know, you've got like ISTJ, ENFP, INTJ, all those sorts of things. You come across those before? They kind of split you into 16 groups, which really doesn't give you that big an insight into people and how they work. But what we do with metaprograms, there are 18 different metaprograms. And when you really study these and figure out some of these metaprograms, that gives you over 2 billion different combinations. Unlimited combinations, if you take the 19th one into account. Which means we can basically, if your particular set of metaprograms, statistically, there's only going to be three or four other people, including you and the entire planet, who have that same makeup. It gives a great insight into people and how they work. So, without any further ado, let's dive into the metaprograms. We're going to take a look at the first 9 in this episode. Excuse me. So, the first metaprogram is, now I say the first, they don't necessarily work in this, but it's not like the mind goes through each of these in step to filter and process. It's just, we've got to start somewhere. We've got 19 of them. Let's just take a look at them. There's no special or significance to the order. It's just, you've got to order them some way. So the first one is your motivation filter. Your motivation filter. Now, we've spoken a little bit about motivation before. This will be a big topic when we explore looking at goals and all these sorts of things. But let's just take a few moments just to look at motivation. Whenever you're motivated by something, are you motivated toward what you do want, or are you motivated away from what you don't want? Which of them provides the greater level of motivation? Let me give you a very, very, very quick example of this. Let's look at money, for example. Let's look at money. Money motivation. Are you motivated toward what you do want? So you want that beautiful lifestyle. You want the luxury mansion. You want the car. You want the holiday. You want to provide your family with everything that they could possibly want. That's toward motivation. You're motivated towards what you do want. Or have you got kind of away motivation, which is we're moving away from the pain. I want to move away from being broke. I want to move away from the threat of being homeless, or I want to move away from never knowing where my next meal is going to come from. You get it? And that works for any sort of motivation, any motivation at all. Is it towards what you do want or away from what you don't want? And with the motivational filter in metaprograms, there are five possibilities. You could be motivated towards what you want. You could be motivated mostly towards what you are, but there's a little bit of a way. It could be pretty much a 50-50 split. You could be motivated mostly away from what you don't want, but with a little bit of towards. Or you could be motivated purely by away from what you don't want. You're not even looking where you're going. You're just looking at what you want to get away from, right? It's a very important filter when we're looking at goal setting and those sorts of things. It's also a very interesting one that gives more of an insight into fear and how fears motivate you. I mean, if you are heavily away from motivated, that's because you're moving away from the things you're scared of. Fears have a big part to play in what motivates you. It's interesting, when we are focused on toward what we do want, without even considering what we're moving away from, we're looking at what we're going to move to. That's a place from limited, very limited fear or no fear. That's a very powerful place in which to be. But for now, just kind of note, where are you? Is it towards what you want, towards with a little away, a mixture, mostly away with a little towards, or just purely away from what you don't want? That's the first metaprogram. And remember, with all of these, there is no right or wrong. It's simply what you are. Next one, let's take a look. Next one will be orientation filter. Now, this is it's whether you do what you do because of the possibilities or out of necessity and obligation. Am I doing this because of what I can accomplish or what it could bring for me? Or am I doing this because I'm supposed to do it? It's what I should do. I have to do it. There are three options for the orientation filter here. It's possibility. If I do this, I could achieve this. Or there's out of necessity, I have to do this because that's just the way things are. I have to do it. Or is it kind of a mixture of both? Again, fear kind of plays into a little bit on this. As you change your fear, so the orientation can adjust slightly. And of course, the reverse. When you reprogram your orientation filter, that can change the whole way in which you perceive fear. It's very interesting stuff, this. Let's take a look at a third success indicator. A third meta program, which is our success indicator filter. Now, this is one that can reveal a lot of insights for a lot of people. And I count myself in this because this brought huge insights for me into some major problems that have been plaguing me for 30, 40 years. It's looking at this particular metaprogram, the success indicator filter, really helped me get a massive hold on exactly what was going on here. Once I got the hold on it, it enabled me then to change things around. And Some of you have heard me speak about my depression in the past. The success indicator filter has massive, for me personally, massive impact and ramifications around the whole depression thing. And once I flipped this, it really has made a huge difference in how I can control it and keep it at bay. So what do I mean by the success indicator filter? It's basically, how do you know whether you're doing a good job? What tells you that you're successful? What tells you it's a good job? Does it come from inside? Or do you depend on external verification? Now, there's broadly four categories this could fit into. The first one is internal, which is you know when you're doing a good job. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, irrelevant what anyone else says, you know you're doing a good job. Purely internal. Or you could be internal with a bit of, with an external check. So you know inside, yeah, I'm doing a good job. But you kind of like to get a little bit of validation from others just to confirm, yeah, you are doing well. Yeah, so, you know, I'm pretty sure I know I'm doing well. Bob, you reckon I'm doing well? Yeah, I think so. Fantastic. So that's internal with an external check. Next one along is external with an internal check. So basically, you need other people to tell you that you're doing well. And you then kind of check internally. Ah, boss has given me a great compliment. Fantastic. Am I doing well? Actually, yeah. Yep. Cool. So external with an internal check. Or the other extreme, it's external. The only way you know you're doing a good job, the only way you know you're successful, is if other people tell you. And really, really, you're putting how you feel in the hands of other people there. It's up to other people to let you know you've done a good job, to tell you you're successful, to tell you you're doing it right, to give you worth and value even. So those are the four ones for a success indicator filter. Is it internal? Do you know? You know from inside. I know when I'm doing a good job. Is it internal with an external check? I know I'm doing a good job, and it's nice to get appreciation and validation from others from time to time. Is it external with an internal check? You know, I kind of need others to let me know, but when they do, yeah, I kind of agree with them. Or is it purely external? Do you depend upon your boss giving a good review to let you know you're doing that? Do you need to win lots of awards in your industry before you feel you're doing well, for example? Oh, interesting. So that's the success indicator filter. Now let's move along. Let's move it along. Keep going. We're going to move on now to the decision-making filter. Now this is all about how you make decisions. And this can be a really interesting one to figure out for yourself, because once you know how you make decisions, you can then much more rapidly gather information in such a way as to enable you to make a rapid decision. And when you know how, when you understand how other people make decisions, you're then better able to present the information in the way which will enable them to make a decision. Now, it's not about fooling people into making the decision you want them to make, or controlling people, or making them choose your option. It's not that. It's about helping them to have the information in the way that enables them to make the decision. Or for you, it's enabling you to gather the information in the way that enables you to be convinced and to make the decision. So there are four different ways in which this filter can work. You may be convinced by what you see. You need to see something. You need to see the evidence in order to make your decision. So you've got to see it with your own eyes, see the demonstration, to see what's happening. Or you might need to hear it, which means you might need somebody else to verbally give you the information. Some people, they need to hear it. They can see it. Okay, but well, tell me, what am I seeing? Tell me, what am I seeing here? You explain what's going on. Got it, right, now I understand. You see the difference there? Or it could be that you need to read. You need to read the information. So look, don't tell me. Just let me read the spec. Let me read the reviews. Let me read the reports. Let me read gather all this information. Let me read it. And I will give you a decision. because you need to read the information so you can process it internally. Or for some people, it's kind of the only way you can be convinced that a decision is right, so actually do it. You need to start doing the thing in order to be convinced that it's the right decision to make. And this can have massive impact if you're ever involved in enrolling people into a project, or salespeople will benefit massively when they know about these. That's why for some people, seeing a demonstration of the product, that's it. Convinces them beautifully. That's what they need. For some people, they need to be told what's going on. Look, you can see how it's doing this, this, and this. Oh, yeah, got it. Okay, I get it. For some people, they need to read all the reports. For some people, they need to just actually use it. That's why you get a trial period of a thing. Here you go. Here it is. Use it. Do it. See if this does what you need. So what's your decision-making filter? Because once you know and understand what your filter is, you're then much more powerful place in order to make much more rapid decisions. If you want to make a decision and make it quickly, if, for example, you need to read the stuff in order to make the decision, then there's absolutely no point in having people telling you it and going for a test drive and seeing demonstrations. You actually just need to read the stuff so you can just cut all the other stuff, go straight to the one that works for you. Bam, you make your decisions. See how this works? It's pretty cool stuff, this, and we are rattling through this quickly because we only have a limited amount of time to get through this. If any of these strike a chord with you and you want to explore it in more detail, hey, get in touch. More than happy to have a chat, or we could maybe do an episode around some of them, or I can do other standalone videos if that's what works for you. Let me know. All of this is designed to help you, so let me know how best I can serve you and help you. Yeah. All right. Now with the decision making filter, you're kind of it's what convinces you. Do you need to see the evidence? Do you need to hear it? Do you need to read it? Or are you only convinced by it, by doing it? That's the decision-making. How do you make the decision? Then kind of connected with that is we've got the convincer filter. And this is once you've made the decision, you've gone through all the decision-making side of things, and we will almost certainly revisit these when we look at strategies in a future episode. Oh, strategies. Oh, that's a whole new world for us to explore there. We look at your strategies around how you do fear, your strategies about how you cope with fear. So many different strategies we can look at. Let me know. Is that something that would be of interest to you? Let me know. We may well do a feature on strategies in a future episode. How you can figure out what your strategy is, why it helps to know it, how you can change your strategies. Because, hey, look, if you can change your strategies about how you do fear, do you think you're going to be able to kind of push it to one side and help eliminate it? You betcha. But for now, let's carry on with this. You've got the decision-making filter. We've also got the convincer filter. So you've kind of made the decision. What needs to happen to help convince you that it was the right course of action to take? Now, there's four options here. It could be an automatic convincer. By that, I mean you made the decision, you are automatically convinced it was the right decision. Because, hey, why would you have made it if it was the wrong decision, right? I've made the decision, I know it's right. Bam, done, let's move on. For some people, they need to weigh up some options, maybe three options or five options. That's the way a lot of people work. And that's why, for example, you'll see this time and time and time again in adverts, in restaurants, in all sorts of places. They may offer you three options. All of a sudden, now you can go, all right, I can compare these three options and pick the one that suits me best. Fantastic. So a great example, there was a holiday company, and they were offering tours, and they offered three different tours, and they noticed of those, two were the most popular, one of them very, very few people took. So they dropped that tour, and they only had the two tours. All of a sudden, there was a big drop in the number of people booking any of the tours. Because what was happening, a lot of people had like a three-time convincer. That's kind of the most common one. You need to have kind of three options And from that, you can weigh up, this is the best one. If you've only got two options, like, well, oh, I don't know. I'm not so sure. And so they were making them. So they brought back the third one, which they knew very few people would take. But by having it there, people are now feel more comfortable making the decision. So what's your convincer filter? Is it automatic? Do you need a number of options? Hey, boss, we need to take action. We could do this, 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 or this. Here's the options. Which one do you think we should go for? We're going to go that one. Brilliant. For some people, it could be a period of time. You just need, you've made your decision, and you need maybe a few weeks just with it, just to be truly convinced it was the right decision. Or for some people, they kind of need constant convincing. They have to keep being convinced over time that it's the right decision to make. If you're hiring someone, for example, or if you're being recruited by someone and you know their convincer filter, you can figure out their convincer filter, you then know how easy it's going to be to convince the hirer that you are the right person for the job. Because you know what's it going to take to convince them. They need a number of options. Brilliant. Okay, they need a three-time convincer. I can give them three different ways in which I absolutely rock. Bam. They've got their three-time convincer. Feels like, yeah, no bother. Take them. Can you see how this works? Cool. Talking of bosses and leading and leadership and all that sort of thing, let us go on to the next one, which is the leadership filter. So we've had the motivation filter, orientation, success indicator, decision-making, convincer. We're now on to the leadership filter. And the leadership filter is all about how easy it is for you to lead yourself or to lead others. Is it easier for you to know what you need to do? Or is it easier for you to know what other people need to do? Or where does it sit? So there's a project, something needs to be done. Are you a self-leader? In other words, you know exactly what you need to do to make this happen. You're self-leading. Self-leadership. Brilliant. So your boss can give you a task and they just know you're going to go and get it done. Is it easier for you to know what other people need to do, but not necessarily what you need to do? Now, we've probably all come across those sorts of people at some point in our life. They're great at telling everybody else what they need to do in their job, but they kind of fall short themselves. There's two other options with a leadership filter there. Are you able to lead yourself, but yeah, you kind of can't really lead others? So I know exactly how to do my job. I know exactly what I need to do, but I'd be absolutely rubbish at leading a team because I don't have a clue what they would need to do. Or, and I said, this is a really powerful filter to have. Are you able to know how to lead yourself and others? That's a rarer one, but that makes for brilliant leadership. So you know exactly how to lead yourself and you can lead others as well. You can set an inspiring example for them. You can lead them. You know exactly when you need to tell them what to do. You know when you don't. And you know what you need to do as well. So that's a leadership filter. Excuse me. Are you self, not others, self and others, or others only? How easy is it for you to know what you need to do? How easy is it for you to know what others need to do? That's all about the leadership filter. And this can be a really powerful one to know for yourself, if nothing else. Once you know your leadership filter, if you know, for example, yourself, then you know that you would be a good candidate to go for any position where you need to be self-motivated. You're given the task and just get on and do it. For example, so it's great for helping figure out where you are within terms of jobs and stuff. Moving on. Let's see, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. We've got another 3 we're going to look at for this particular segment. Next one is energy direction filter. It's basically how do you direct your energy in pursuit of your goals in life or in pursuit of a given task? Now, this can give you a lot of information about how you go about, set about undertaking a task. Do you take action right away? Something needs to be done. Bam. I'm diving straight in. Act first, ask questions later. Let's do this and then figure out was it the right thing. Active energy. So something needs to be done. Bam. You take action straight away and then figure out was it the right action, the wrong course of action. Are we heading the right way? Do we need to fix things? Or are you more reflective? Something needs to be done, right? Let's pause for a moment, figure out our best course of action, and then we will take that course of action. Excuse me. And again, in figuring out the course of action, that leads us back to the decision-making, the convincer, and possibly even the leadership filters come into play in that. Alternatively, are you both? You take action, but as you're taking action, you're also weighing up all the options and figuring out the right course of action today. And you can adjust it as you need to. But at least you start. So you make a start and we figure out, are we going the right way? Or are you inactive? Something needs to be done, right? Come on then. Somebody choose what we need to do. Let us know how we're going to do this. So you don't do anything until somebody else takes the lead. How do you direct your energy in your pursuit of life goals or in your pursuit of a given task or whatever it is? An interesting one to figure out, your energy direction filter. We've got the performance filter. And this it's kind of more of a work-oriented one, but it's still a very useful one to figure out for yourself. To figure out about you, and you can start to spot it in other people as well. And sometimes it can be interesting even just to kind of take a little bit of a backseat and spot this in your social circles. What role do you tend to perform best? What's your best role? Are you an independent player? Are you a team player? Or are you a manager of the team? So do you work best as an independent player? You know what, just leave me alone. I know what I need to do. I'm going to do it. Or do you work best as a team? Hey gang, let's do this together. Or you work best as a manager? Okay team, this is what I need you all to do. Go and do it. It's an interesting one. It really is an interesting one. To figure it out. And once you've figured it out, and then look back over life and see where you were pushed into each of those positions and see how it worked, how that worked out for you. Let's take a look. We'll take a look at one more for this episode and then we'll leave it for now. What is your preferred interest? So what interests you most in life? And this is one you might want to think about. So this is going to be a good point at which to pause. But what's your preferred interest filter? What interests you most in life? What do you prefer to spend your personal time doing? Do you focus mostly on people? Hanging out with people, dealing with people, interacting with people? Are you more inspired by places, visiting places, going to, whether it's visiting towns and cities, countries, or perhaps visiting galleries or cathedrals or monuments? Is it places that attracts you, that really gets you going? Or is it things? Is it things that interest you more? A lot of people who have hobbies around collecting, they are very, very much lit up by things. It's very much their preferred interest. Is it activities, doing things like playing sports or whatever? Or is it information? Is information what really gets you going? Like reading, for example. Someone who's a voracious reader, their preferred interest filter is really going to be all around information. That's the point at which we're going to stop for this episode. We've had a look at 9 of the filters. We've had a look at 9 of the filters. And just to recap them, there was the motivation filter, orientation, success indicator, decision-making, convincer, leadership, energy direction, performance, work satisfaction, and preferred interest. Have a think about those. See if you start to work out what your filter settings are for each of those. And start to build up a profile of yourself. And then join me in a couple of weeks' time couple of episodes' time where we'll look at the other filters. Why are we not doing it in the next episode? Because in the very next episode, I got a rather interesting guest lined up. And with all of these shows, it's one episode is going to be me, one episode is going to be me with a guest. We're just going to keep that going. So, two episodes' time, we're going to revisit and complete our introductory look to meta programs. That's it for now. How have you found this? Let me know what you think about it. If you enjoy this, wherever you've caught us, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, Google, Spotify, wherever it is, please remember, give us a like, rate us, subscribe, leave a comment. Let me know exactly what you think. Let me know what you want to see in future episodes. Let me know how helpful you find this. I will catch you, as always, in the next episode. And until then, take care, look after yourself, and remember, change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.